56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
The time, hour number three here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Tuesday, April 21st, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Jay Hamm with you. We're broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 60 degrees, going to have a beautiful day, mostly sunny. You'll see a little bit of clouds, 81 for a high, and pretty similar tomorrow and Thursday, Friday, chance of some thunderstorms, about a 90% chance. The weekend, yesterday the forecast looked a little more doomsday. Today a little better, 55% chance of rain on Saturday, but I see a little sun. I see some sun on Sunday, and the chances for precipitation dropping to 25%. So all in all, hopefully it will be a great weekend. It looks like it's going to be a great weather week here in Memphis. Hour number three of the program. We got a lot to get to, and we start every Tuesday at this time during the golf season with Mickey Barker.
It's time to hit the links and talk some golf. It's Mickey and Friends. Mickey Barker, administrator of golf for the Bluff City, joins Greg and Eli each week. Now here's Mickey Barker with Greg and Eli.
He is Mickey Barker, not only the administrator of golf for the city of Memphis, he's a PGA professional. He's a Hall of Fame golfer from Lipscomb University. You can follow him on Twitter at MickeyBarker1, although he's not tweeting that much because he's so darn busy. And as I said, he joins us every week at this time. How are you?
Good, Greg. Eli, how are you guys?
Doing great. When's the last time you tweeted something?
I'll have to go back on your profile and look and see. Yeah, not a lot.
Absolutely. So we got a lot to get to. First of all, let's talk about local golf, what's going on. As I said, the weather should be nice this week. Hopefully it will cooperate for this weekend. But the season, as you said, while people golf all year long, we know that once the Masters hits, it's full on. It's time to bring out the club. So what are we doing right now locally?
Yeah, we are all of our golf courses, nine-hole golf courses included, we are really busy right now, playing a tremendous amount of rounds, more rounds than we've ever played this time of year. You know, your forecast shows some rain on the weekend. We usually don't want rain on the weekend, but we'd take rain at any point at this point. We're really dry. This is supposed to be our wettest 2 months of the year, March and April, and we really haven't gotten any rain, and so we need it. Now, I'm not complaining that, you know, the golf courses are full and everybody's playing so many rounds, but we definitely could use some rain.
Maybe overnight rain every night.
That would be perfect.
And stops in the morning.
Absolutely perfect, yes.
You had the event at Pine Hill, correct?
We did. We had the new event called the TriStar. It's three different formats in one round, two-man. They played scramble. They played alternate shot, and then they played aggregate score. So we put some pretty tough formats on them. The team that won, Dan Roberts and Kendrick Jones, unbelievably shot two under par for the round, which, you know, in scramble you got to get four or five under in this format, yeah. And then alternate shot, try to hang on, and then the aggregate scores where everybody struggled so much, and they were able to hold in there and win by a shot.
So, okay, for folks out there that don't know that jargon, scramble, you both, if it's a two-man, you're both hitting your tee shot, and then you're going to the best ball, right?
Yeah,
and playing it the rest of the way?
Yeah, you go two-man scramble, everybody hits a shot each time. You pick the best shot of the two each time, and then typically you make lots of birdies and pars. And then alternate shot, it's true alternate shot. Whoever hits the drive, the partner hits the second shot, the switch back and forth. So only one ball is being played.
So would that continue? Let's say you finish the first hole, you're putting, Mickey. And that means I have to hit the driver on hole two?
That's correct. In true alternate shot like that, yes.
Okay. And then how do you decide who starts the round?
You pick. Yeah.
It's just a simple pick.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what do people prefer when they go out there, when they're not playing their own ball, when they're just going out there to have fun. What,
scramble.
Mostly scramble, yeah, not even close.
Yeah, absolutely scramble. We see that a lot at our courses, is that guys that go out and play, and none of the group be very good, yeah. And they'll play four-person scramble just among themselves, just to have fun and move around. And we see that a good bit, especially two-man scramble. Again, you know, they have a foursome, and they'll play two against each other. It's a lot of fun. Makes it easier, goes quicker, and not holding the groups up behind them.
So. Another one of your big events is the Mayor's Cup, and you've got that qualifier coming up?
The qualifier is coming up this Saturday at Fox Meadows. We typically hold it at Fox Meadows. We have somewhere around 40 entrants right now. We'll take the top 32, and they'll go into a year-long match play event where they'll have a month to play each match, and then we'll culminate that in October with the finals.
Okay, so there's only one time to qualify this Saturday.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, right Saturday. Now you have 40 signed, but when it's all said and done, 32 will make it. Is that what you're saying?
So it's a perfect bracket.
Right.
We always the champion from last year's always in. So they'll be playing for 31 spots.
And it'll be seeded based off those results from Saturday?
That's correct. With the past champion being the number one seed, and then 2 through 32 seeded off.
Is that open to anybody?
Anybody. Yep, absolutely. Sign up. The deadline is this Wednesday at 5, MemphisPublicLinks.com. They can register for that. It's a lot of fun. It's you're going to get to play some rounds of golf, and a lot of buddies play each other, and it turns out some
Who
really
is the
good
defending
matches.
Champion?
You got.
I shouldn't have put you on the spot.
Yeah, you put me on the spot on that one.
Defending champions, yeah. Right?
Right? Yeah, right. He played really
good.
Great,
yeah, wasn't
he? He did. He played really well.
We have had a couple of courses that have closed over the years, right? But right now, as you said, it's crazy. Do you envision down the road maybe another course somewhere in Memphis? If there's so many people playing and the courses are packed, do you see the need that maybe one day, either if it can be possibly done, an old course is resurrected or a new course and land is bought?
Well, we do. We see
that Quail Ridge.
Quail Ridge is coming back. Should be open later in the fall.
I mean for city courses.
For the city of Memphis courses?
Yes. Yes.
No, I don't. We would love to just continue to improve the ones that we've got.
So stay with that number.
Stay with the seven number. Riverside is a nine-hole golf course. Has a lot of deferred maintenance. We need new irrigation system, new greens there. So that's something. Hopefully, over the years we can renovate that coming up. I don't see adding any more to the city of Memphis.
Okay. What about any women's or junior events that are coming up here?
We do. We have the Overton Park Junior Open, which will be in July, which is our biggest junior event of the year by far. It will fill up very quickly. Last year we had 180, I believe, juniors play in that. What's cool about it is it's a match play event. They have one day of qualifying. They go out all day on Monday, and you have – 180 juniors playing nine holes. They're grouped by age and by score, and then they're seeded, and then they play match play the rest of the week, which is the longest running junior match play event anywhere. But now that colleges are going back to match play, and the SEC championship ends in match play, and the national championship ends in match play. That's a format that's really coming back, and so I think more and more kids will gravitate toward it.
And the PGA Tour is talking about maybe possibly bringing match play into their playoffs in some way.
Yeah. So it's a fun format. It's great. I know the Tour is always, they used to have the one match play event a year, and what happens if our number one player gets kicked out on day one, and with TV ratings and all that stuff. But I think they're probably going to go back to it in some format at some point.
They're going through these changes, but now they've just announced they're not going back to Hawaii. Those stops are done. We're waiting on this whole new schedule, but that's happening for next year. We'll see what happens with that. But what do you kind of look at as what the future is and how they can make it better, which is what Brian rolled out the guy gave you. I just want to make the tour better. What is it that you think will make it better?
I think the biggest thing that will make it better is the top players playing more weeks in a row. You know, with the elevated events that they're doing now, you're almost guaranteed to have, you know, at least 45 of the top 50 playing. I think that's what they're looking to get that to happen more times than not. You know, that's happening probably, what, 10 times a year plus the majors. So I think they're trying to get that a little more often and then possibly elevate some of the Korn Ferry Tour players with the, you know, the regular events.
Yeah.
So he wants to make it better. I trust him. I'm a little leery of changing, you know, because I've always enjoyed watching all the events, you know, whether it be a Texas Open or whatever, and then the elevated events.
Before we talk about what's going on the PGA Tour, do you watch Full Swing on Netflix?
I have not watched it.
Oh, it's a great series. The new one came out from last year. So it was a 4-part series, watched it all, couldn't stop. Obviously last year, a Ryder Cup year. I recommend that for anybody out there who cares even a little bit about golf to watch Full Swing. Every year it's great, but this year, again, which deals with last year's season, absolutely tremendous. Okay, so the Heritage signature event, great field right after the Masters, except Rory wasn't in it. You had Scottie Scheffler. You had a lot of big names. Here's Fitzpatrick, who's had a great season, in control of this thing, and then he ends up bogeying 18, and they go to the playoff. Scottie, who for whatever reason has gotten off to slow starts a lot this year, and I don't understand why that's happening, Mickey, but then all of a sudden he turns it on over the weekend, and he's right there. He was at with the Masters, came up a little bit short, had a chance here, went into the playoff. Give Fitzpatrick credit for the amazing 4-iron shot, and then he makes the birdie. But what were your thoughts on Fitzpatrick and really where Scheffler is as well this year?
Really strong play from Fitzpatrick. I was thinking about this morning with, you know, when Tiger was in his prime, had he been in that situation, the player that he's playing against typically folded. He didn't have to do anything different. You know, Scheffler's round looked exactly like a Tiger round. You know, a couple birdies, just no bogeys, and except Scheffler was down the middle of the fairway and on the green. Tiger was in the trees and knocking it on the green and somehow making par a birdie. But it was really amazing that how strong Fitzpatrick was of making pars. Just kept making par, making, you know, 20-footer on one of the holes there early in the back nine to hang in there and keep that 3-shot lead. And he had to know Scheffler was going to make a run, you know, birdieing 15 and 16, and then looked like Fitzpatrick was going to do the same thing that he did in the Players' Championship where he bogeyed 18 and that time Cam Young made birdie, but this time Scheffler couldn't do it, go to the playoff, and then he makes a fantastic shot.
That was the thing, and yeah, certainly if you go back to Tiger, like, but once, because Fitzpatrick, that little chip shot he hit on 18 was not good, especially after Scheffler hit the great one. I was like, okay, in the playoffs, Scheffler wins.
Sure.
Scheffler, we all know how this works. Scheffler wins this thing, and Scheffler to miss the green, and then for Fitzpatrick to hit the shot that he hit with the one-handed follow-through that looked like he was going to, you're like, oh gosh, what did he just do, hit it in the water? No, he hits it up there and makes birdie. But I automatically thought Scheffler wins playoff.
Yeah, I did too. I thought if he can just get to a playoff, he's got it. Because I was pulling for him. I like Fitzpatrick. I think he's a great guy. I think the crowd gave him a lot of grief, you know, chanting the USA and talking about this yesterday, listening to it. The one player in the entire field that had a lighthouse as a head cover was Fitzpatrick. He's been going to Hilton Head his entire life, and so he loves the place. But, you know, the talk between Fitzpatrick and his caddy hitting that 4-iron, he's like, I'm just going to put it in the back of my stance. I make a good shot here. He just said, okay, this is it. I'm doing it.
He's a good, because his brother's won now on the DP Tour. Now they're playing together this week at the team event. So it's cool. I mean, that's got to be awesome. Like, for, you know, his brothers have, you know, trying to make it for a long time. Now Fitzpatrick's an established star, but for his brother to win, now he wins, and then they go play together in New Orleans. It's got to be awesome for them.
Yeah, right now, I mean, he's kind of looking like the player of the year out front running right now, but we'll see.
It's interesting because you just brought up the whole USA chance, which was a big part of this Full Swing series with the Ryder Cup, which got out of hand. But it's funny because all those guys live in the United States.
Right.
They're born there. They lived in Rory lives in Florida. They all live in the United States. Well, not all of them, but for the most part, they do. Now, what was interesting, I found out Tommy Fleetwood lives at least part of the year in Dubai. He started the Tommy Fleetwood Golf Academy in Dubai for the last 4 years. I did not know that. But, yeah, so anyway, it's just like, you know, there's go home, you know, foreigners. Yeah, I'm going home to Jupiter, Florida.
Right.
I'm going home to West Palm Beach. Yesterday, the PGA Tour announcing that they will not have Hawaii events to start the year. It's the first time in 56 years. So you lose the winners from the prior year. I forget what they called it.
Tournament of Champions.
Tournament of Champions. And then the Sony Open. They're hoping now to make the Sony Open involved at the Champions Tour. But they're getting away from Hawaii. I think this is the start of a lot of changes that are going to be made. But this is for 2027. So I wonder if changes will be made with the playoff, which has been rumored. And I had Robert Miller on the other day, the new tournament director over at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And, of course, he's not sure of, like, when these things will come out in the announcement. But Steve Sands has said on our show before that he didn't think it'd be in time for 27. It would be more like 28. But I wonder, now that they've made this decision with Hawaii and the schedule, we're starting to hear things. Could it affect next year? Could it affect the FedEx St. Jude Championship?
Well, I certainly hope not. And I think the one good thing that we have here for us in Memphis is that the FedEx Cup, which they play all year long, has FedEx name in it. So I think we'll be just fine here in Memphis. And whatever they do with the tournament here, which I have no idea what that will be good for us.
Well, what we're hearing, again, is that they have signed off on it, that FedEx is – like they want it to be – a signature event in May as opposed to the playoff event. And that probably is going to happen. The question is, will it happen in 27 or 28? Again, nothing definitive, but that seems to be what's happening. Also, what's happening is LIV, which is not necessarily crumbling this year. It doesn't look good moving forward, especially if PIF is not backing them financially. So the commissioner was talking about this, that they're looking at possible ways to open the door again for those guys to come back to the PGA Tour. Now, Brooks Koepka paid a stiff financial penalty to come back. And we know that Patrick Reed is playing the DP Tour before he can come back. He's playing the majors, of course. What do you think should happen? Should they open the door? Should it be just, okay, that's fine, but stiff penalties? What do you think should happen? Because it does look like that we may end up having that.
I like the way they did with Koepka and giving the major champions a shot at coming back. You know, I think there will definitely be something along those lines of, okay, here's the door. This is the protocol that to allow you to get back in, whether it be at the beginning of 27 or, you know, after the playoffs in 27 or some type of way to get them back in. Listening to Brian Rolapp yesterday, he was saying that, you know, my job and my one goal is to make the PGA Tour better. And making it better would have those top guys playing every week. And they'll come up with some kind of plan that the membership will be okay with, that the policy board will be okay with. I think most of them, the top players, will be back. Now, the guys that had not won tour events, that didn't have a whole lot of status, that decided to go and play, or the guys that came out of college and decided to sign with LIV, you know, I got a feeling they're going to be right back at tour school or some type, you know, trying to get a sponsor's exemption or Monday qualifying or something.
Yeah, like you had the kid from Ole Miss who just won NCAA championships past year that went over there, passed up on the chance to play in the Masters as an amateur to go over there. Like year one, like, oh, okay. Like now this thing's going away. Like for those guys, that's a tough situation.
Really tough. And there was a kid that, Surratt, that played at UT.
Yeah.
Same thing. He went straight to LIV. And Michael Lasso was at Ole Miss. And when he declined the Masters invitation, I was like, oh, my goodness. There's not enough money in the world to make me decline that one.
Well, I just wonder, moving forward, they talk about maybe less events. They talk about smaller fields. What's going to happen, especially if LIV crumbles? All these players, there's only so many spots. And you talk about these young guys coming in. Who's the kid from with the long hair? Is Auburn guy? The young player. Was he Auburn? I mean, he's now. I think he might not be a professional now.
I think that was Lasso from.
No, I forget.
He had the longer hair.
I forget his name. He's in a couple of commercials and all that. But anyway, I wonder about these guys. If it's a limited field, what's going to happen to the rest of those professional golfers? Is there going to be a supplementary tour, almost like a minor league, but tournaments that are minor that they don't qualify for the big boys, the signature events?
Yeah, I don't think they like the term that was being used, but they would have A-level events and B-level events.
There you go.
Kind of like what you've got now when the top players don't play. But I think there will be a...
And you got those weak, like opposite of some of the majors.
Opposite field events. And I think they'll take the Corn Ferry and kind of elevate it. There will be some great events that won't include, you know, the top 50 in the world.
It's almost like I'm in a Premier League and then the Champions League, whatever's right below the Premier, even though they got the relegation and all that. In a sense, golf, it could be relegation. It could be moving up and moving down, depending on how you do as an individual contractor. But I could see where they have that level there. You have your Scottie Schefflers and Rory McIlroys, and then that next level, they're playing like the Sanderson Farms. They're playing those type of events, and it's almost like, as you said, an A and a B.
Yeah, man, I think a lot of those, you'll see those a lot in the fall after the playoffs are over. You know, once football starts, I think, you know, bringing Rolap in from the NFL, they were trying to figure out that picture, you know, because you don't want tour events going up against the playoff events in January and February. The ratings, that's what they're looking for. Or, you know, my personal opinion would be play during the week, you know, before the football starts on the weekend, play, you know, Monday through Thursday or whatever it is. And because there's not a whole lot to watch on weeknights in January, February.
Yeah. It's not like these aren't your normal. They don't have a day job. They could come there. They could be just fine there being there Monday and Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Well, it'll be interesting how they revamp the schedule and events moving forward, but it's going to happen. Mickey, once again, give everybody the website they need to go to, book tee times.
MemphisPublicLinks.com. You can get all your information you need there. Book tee time, sign up for tournaments. Just go there and come out and see us.
All right. He's Mickey Barker, the golf administrator from the city of Memphis. Thank you, Mick.
Thanks.
We'll talk next week. Hey, everybody. Ready to see the USA in a new all-star Chevrolet this summer? Olive Branch has it all right here in one place. A new Traverse, Tahoe, Suburban with third row seat. New Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings. Financing as low as 1.9%. Go big with the new HD Silverado and make no payments for 90 days because your good credit deserves it. Military first responders, you get an extra $500 bonus. Nobody beats the All-Star Chevy certified and pre-owned selection. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van you want is ready to get to work for you and your business today. And all the certified or pre-owned Tahoes, including Trailblazers and Silverados and Equinox and Corvettes. They have them all for you. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, bring it to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch. Get the most money for it today. So together, let's drive. Don't miss the work or vacation event going on now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet and online at allstarautogroup.com. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. Final half hour for us today here on Sports 56 Mornings. If you missed any of our interviews, you can always check out the podcast. Just go to the website, sports56whbq.com. We break down all the shows hourly, so you can listen to Sports 56 Mornings, for example, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10. Connor O'Gara joined us at 7:25, Frank Bonner at 8:25, and we just had Mickey Barker talking some golf here to open up hour number three.
We were talking earlier, the Grizzlies again found out yesterday after the tiebreaker drawings were held that that second first-round pick will be the 16th pick of the draft. Again, they've got their lottery pick, which will be decided with the lottery on May 10th, where that will be. It'll either be 1 through 4 or 6 through 10. But we do know that they will pick 16th. Got a message from David.
He says, why aren't the Grizzlies prioritizing a big at 16? I'd love to get Chris Senak, young athletic defender, 6'10", 240, and still growing. Again, we don't know what they're doing at 16 yet, but if Senak is still there, I could certainly see him. He would be one of the possibility. That kid is still very, very young, a one-and-done guy. I think he would absolutely be a possibility at 16 if he was there when the Grizzlies were picking.
What about Krivas?
I think where they'll have these guys rated, I don't know. I mean, I think Senak is going to be probably pretty high on some of these boards and might be gone by that time. But, yeah, again, like it's – I don't think you're prioritizing a position. It also, again, it depends what happens with the first pick. Say you moved up to number four and got Caleb Wilson. Well, now that means Senak probably not needed at that point. But if you end up picking sixth or seventh and get one of the point guards, well, now you're looking possibly big, possibly wing with that second pick. So it kind of depends where the first pick ends up and who you get with that first pick of what that means for the second pick anyway.
Oh, absolutely. We talked about that earlier. When you're picking 16, if you keep that pick, it all depends on that first pick. You're not going best player available. Now you got to start looking at position. And if you have a top four, if they get lucky in the draft lottery and have a top four pick, again, Peterson's a combo guy, but he's not a point guard per se. He's a combo. He's a shooting guard more, I think, than a point guard. So that doesn't fix the point guard question. The question, of course, is does Ty Jerome stay with he's under contract for another year. Is he your guy at point guard? And then do you look to renew to keep him if you can? Does he look to get out of there after the 1 year? Do you look to trade him if that's the case at the trade deadline? Is he that guy? Or is it somebody else? Do you think one of these youngsters that they can get if they use it at the lottery with the lottery pick and they stay right around 6, 7, 8 is a point guard that youthful ready to come in here and be a starting point guard? I don't believe so. And this is all with the assumption that Ja is traded and everybody thinks he will be. So that'll be the question. Is Jerome going to be your point guard? You're not – like, I don't see Scottie Pippen Jr. or Cam Spencer, those guys being your starting point guard. They're backup guys. I could see Ty Jerome being the starting point guard. But, again, what's the long-term deal? I like – getting one of these young guards, letting them learn under Ty Jerome, and then moving forward. Of course, what can you get for Ja? I mean, maybe there's a point guard in return. Doubt it, but maybe there is. So there's a lot of different options. But to the persons that texted in their point, they're right on. In my opinion, if you are going with that lottery pick and you're going to, let's say they don't move up and they're sitting around 6, 7, 8. They can go as low as 9, right? Or 10. It goes as low as 10.
Yes, if four teams behind them jump.
9, 10, I don't know. Those guys we're talking about.
10 is very unlikely. 9 is unlikely. 10 is – 10, that would be some
– Bad
unbelievably luck. Bad lottery luck if four teams from behind you jumped in front.
Well, the Grizzlies have pretty bad luck. But point being is, if you're taking – if you got the 10th or 9th pick, more than likely those point guards you're looking at are gone. If you're 8, 7, 6, 5, they're probably right there. And at 5, you probably get the pick of the litter, assuming those top four are the guys. Who knows? Maybe somebody wants to move up and take Acuff at number 4, or maybe the team right now that's picking 4, which I don't know off the top of my head because we don't know. We don't know how the draft lottery will go. My point is this. I think that Memphis would absolutely have to look at a big at 16. If they use it on a point guard, absolutely. Now, we talked about maybe a wing shooter and all that. For me, the whole thing about the Grizzlies moving forward is Zach Edey. Everything. If Zach Edey's going to be damaged goods and hurt for the next 2-3 years, you are so far behind everything. You are way behind everything. If Zach Edey, if you can tell me right now that Zach Edey's going to be healthy and he's going to be, we know he's effective. We know he's a good player. If he is healthy and you have him, gosh, for the next 6, 7 years, he's going to dominate. But we don't know that. And that's the worry. That's why I'm thinking if you can get a young big at 16, get your point guard if you don't move up, But if you do move up, you're going to get one of those stars, and then all bets are off at 16. Now I don't know what you're going to do. There's also the chance they could package. Could you see them packaging 16, and let's say they are at 8, 16 and 8 to move up to 2? Is that worth it? Are those guys right there penciled in at the top 4 worth 2 picks within the top 16? Jay Ham, what do you think?
That's a mean roll of the dice. Only because you really don't know how it all hold up. Now, as far as just talent, yeah. Those guys at the top definitely are worth that, but you still can find some gems in the middle part of this.
No question.
I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't be willing with their situation, knowing you're trading Ja and you want a point guard, if you're picking in that 6, 7, 8 range and you know you're getting one of the point guards, I'm not giving that up.
No, I wouldn't do it either.
I wouldn't either.
Would I give up 6 and 32, say, to move up? Maybe.
Okay.
I ain't giving up 6 and 16 to move up.
I mean, let's say they've really zeroed in on, man, if we can get AJ DeBonza, and they end up in the lottery 7. Now you're sitting there at 7. Okay, would somebody, I don't know who's going to be the first pick. I mean, it could be DeBonza, could be Boozer, could be Peterson. I don't think it's going to be Wilson. So we don't know, but let's say that DeBonza is not going to be first, and you're dealing with the team that has the second pick, and they're looking at DeBonza. Would they take the 8th pick overall and the 32nd? I don't know. Maybe they zero in on DeBonza themselves. They would. I think you would have to take the 8 and the 16, but is that too much to give up for? They're all unknown quantities, right? We don't know anything about any of these guys other than what they did in college. I think I would keep 8, and again, we're just guessing if it was 8 and 16.
Yeah, with getting more quality players as opposed to
two players that could be potential starters down the road, right?
Right.
So I would keep. I would not package. I don't think there's nothing that tells me that DeBonza or Boozer or Peterson or Wilson are automatic. Like these guys are like 8-time All Stars. I think they all have the potential. But then I also think that some of those other guys right behind have the potential, too. Yeah.
There is some breaking news out of the NBA as Billy Donovan, according to Shams, is stepping down as the Bulls head coach. So I guess that means that opens up their GM search. now they don't have to get somebody who loves Billy Donovan. Do you guys, you're not getting ready. I know he's gone, but do you like Billy Donovan? Because we still like him that much. We still want to hire a GM that really likes him.
Is he just retiring?
I can't imagine.
Because think about this. A couple of weeks ago, he probably could have had the North Carolina job. Instead, they go and they get Malone, another NBA coach. I wonder, man, this is interesting. First of all, I don't know which direction the Bulls go in, but I wonder if Billy the Kid's retiring.
That's a good question as well, considering we're thinking that Steve Kerr may be walking away. Still an opening, and it's going to be open in the Bay Area. Who knows?
Whoa, you're right. So Golden State could be open.
All right.
Chicago, we know that Milwaukee's open, but we keep hearing Taylor Jenkins. Maybe Orlando with Jamal Mosley.
Or if you had a situation where we talked about earlier where Todd Golden goes to Oakland or to San Francisco.
Oh,
how crazy would that be? Billy Donovan back to Florida.
That would be nuts, wouldn't it? And then does New Orleans have the interim coach? Who is the interim coach?
They're interim. Last I heard, they were looking at Jamal Mosley, right?
I read one thing that they apparently, I don't know what the relationship is there, but they like Jamal Mosley so that he would be a possibility there once Orlando's done and we figure out what happens there, but that he would be a possible. I don't know who else. I haven't really seen much about who they've interviewed. I know that Borrego's a part of the process, but it's certainly not. They have not just given him the job.
No. Well, I'd love to know what's going on with Billy Donovan. His rationale, is he just retiring from the game? Because, again, if there were issues with Chicago, did they just rear their ugly head just now? Because a couple of weeks ago.
Well, there are clearly issues with Chicago.
Yeah, but a couple of weeks ago, he could have had the Carolina job. He could have had it. So I'm wondering about that. We didn't mention this, but I don't think it needs much a conversation, as it was expected. Wemby NBA Defensive Player of the Year, the first postseason award handed out yesterday or announced yesterday. 22 years old, youngest to win the award, first unanimous winner.
I'm really surprised that that's the first unanimous winner. Like, I can't – the award is named after Hakeem Olajuwon. I would have thought he would have been a unanimous winner at some point. Like, you would just think that somewhere along the line there would be a unanimous winner of that award.
And you have 3-4-time winners of the award. I would have thought that one of those guys would have won at least one of those on a unanimous tip. We're talking Mutombo, Ben Wallace.
Gobert.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert.
Like, Mutombo's one I would have thought for sure. Like, at some one of those years, like,
It's the prejudice against foreigners. Mutombo, I'm not going for him. Gobert. I ain't voting for no Frenchman. That ain't happening.
But I wonder, like, how many he wins. I mean, he literally, if he plays the number of games, it would not be a shock if he wins the next 7 or 8 of these.
And we've only had one who's done 3 or more consecutive, and that was Dwight. So Wemby will not only probably be the all-time one, he'll take the consecutive one as well.
Well, Olajuwon had how many MVPs did he win?
Just one.
So, but he won an MVP same year. He won Defensive Player of the Year.
He did him the same year.
Has that happened before? I assume it has.
I think.
How far does that award go back?
I don't know. It didn't happen before.
So there was no Wilt. They didn't have that award back then with Wilt or anything like that?
They didn't bring that award up thinking until Sidney Moncrief was the original winner. So that's in the 80s.
Okay.
So it's probably like 84 somewhere in there.
I mean, Sidney. Wemby could be a guy who wins 2, 3, 4 MVP / Defensive Players of the Year in the same season.
Kind of like how Rodman rattled off 7 consecutive rebounding titles.
Right.
Wemby could do that on a defensive end and combine, like you said, with the other accolades as well. Giannis was also able to do both in the same year as well.
Too. Oh, there you go. College basketball news. Colby Garland, according to reports, has committed to Georgia Tech. Again, he was all set to come to Memphis to visit, and then he scratched that. Went to Georgia Tech. There were some other schools, supposedly, that were looking at getting a visit from him. But according to Joe Tipton from On3 Sports, the 6-foot junior averaged 20 points per game and nearly 5 assists. Only made third-team All-Mountain West. Interesting. Third-team All-Mountain West, despite averaging 20 and nearly 5 assists. I wonder how much Georgia Tech's paying that guy. Again, like you said, Eli, you don't easily find 20 point per game scores. That's why with PJ Haggerty, I guarantee he's making a good amount of money with SMU, just like he made a good amount of money with Kansas State. Not a surprise whatsoever.
That defensive player of the year, 82-83 was the first year. Moncrief won the first 2 of them. I assume the year Jordan won defensive player of the year, was he MVP that year?
He was MVP that year, too.
I have to assume we know what he did on the offensive end, and he's the defensive player of the year. It would be hard for him not to be the MVP that season.
And that was kind of fun because that was the rookie season of Scotty, and Michael was just a terrorist on that end of the floor.
That's the fact that Pippen never won defensive player of the year is...
Pippen, Kenyon Martin, there's a few that I can name. It's like, how did that not happen?
Shams saying that with Billy Donovan's exit after 6 years, he elected to step down after extensive meetings with team ownership in the last week. Could it be simply that they couldn't come to a compromise on the pay for Billy Donovan? I mean, I can't imagine it's just that. So we'll find out. Sure, I'm sure we'll find out a little bit more here in the next coming hours. And hopefully Billy Donovan will speak on this, because this doesn't look like it's a simple retirement. Man, I'm looking at a picture of Billy Donovan, and he's aging. We're all aging, but I'm looking at Billy going, all I could think about was when he was Billy the Kid, and he's looking like Billy the Old Man. Some news from the NFL. Mike Tomlin is headed to NBC and Football Night in America, according to The Athletic.
Taking Tony Dungy's spot.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Tony Dungy was ousted in the last couple of weeks. It looks like they just went younger. Take out one Super Bowl winning coach, put in another Super Bowl winning coach. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with our final segment. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Landers Ford in Collierville, number one.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. So I saw the story from Sam Hardiman at the Daily Memphian yesterday that the state of Tennessee is sending another $50 million grant to Memphis for public safety. And according to the story, that's $124 million for security and safety, $230 million for FedEx Forum renovations. This was passed by the state state budget this past week. So a lot more money put into the coffers for the city for public safety, and then the renovation money for FedEx Forum. And yet, here we are, still in limbo. I don't know what happens next. I haven't seen any kind of...
They're working on what they're going to do with the $124 million and how they're, what the plan is. And once they have that and everything's done, again, then that's kind of the next step.
Are you surprised that there hasn't been any renderings or any type of drawings of what could happen downtown in that FedEx Forum area?
Not really. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what, if they knew or what the expectations were of being able to maybe get this extra $50 million. I don't know. So, they may have been waiting to see, okay, are we getting the extra 50 or is it just the 74 that they had previously gotten? But, obviously this is a big undertaking of that. You want to make sure you get it right this time. It's got a lot of repercussions. So, I'm not surprised, and I don't know when we will get those, but now that they know they've got this extra $50 million, they can move forward with that.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's so important, right? It's extremely important to everybody. It's just a slow process. The state continues to help out. You know, I was reading or what's a listening to a national, I think I was listening to a national show. And they were talking about, oh, I know what it was. They were talking about Bridgestone Arena in Nashville and how the Predators themselves, the ownership group, is fitting the bill for all the renovations that are taking. And they're doing some really cool stuff with Bridgestone Arena. And I don't know what the cost was. I kind of caught it halfway through the conversation. It was because sometimes on Fox, when I come to work, it's two pros and a cup of Joe. But sometimes it's the guys from Nashville that are on. And Buck Rising and Fitzy. And they were talking about that. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're talking about actually the ownership group of a team forking the bill? Wow, that's something very interesting.
What a concept.
What a concept here. I think there's an ownership group. It's an owner who's extremely rich, and he owns the team here in Memphis, and yet nothing. So they're going to wait, as you said, for more money from the state, for the city, for whatever they're going to do, whatever the game plan is. And then, of course, the $230 million for the FedEx Forum renovations, which I would have to think probably will be north of that with the costs now. But nothing, as far as I know or have heard, coming from ownership. But the Predators are forking the bill in Nashville for what's going to happen at Bridgestone Arena. When you have somebody by the cojones, you don't let go. How do you think I got to be so rich? So this is an ongoing issue, and I call it an issue. There's no automatic light at the end of the tunnel with this one. Let's hope it all works out. Major League Baseball saw that Edwin Diaz got hurt, Eli. Elbow surgery. He's going to be out until after the All-Star break for the Dodgers, their closer.
Yeah, the Dodgers have had some issues with pitchers the last couple of years, and he was terrible the other day in his outing that gave some clue that something wasn't quite right. And yeah, he's got some loose things in his elbow that they're going to go in and remove. Hopefully for his sake, he's able to return. But again, the Dodgers, they have enough guys.
They're all right.
I mean, last year they dealt with whatever, I don't know how many total pitchers that were injured throughout the season. Still found a way to win the World Series. I'm not going to feel sorry for the Dodgers that one of their big signings is hurt and can't play for 3 months.
No, and if they have to fill the void with somebody else, they'll go out of the organization and they'll find somebody. That's what you do when you have that kind of money. So tonight, three games in the NBA playoffs: Sixers, Celtics, Trailblazers, Spurs, Rockets, Lakers. All game two. And the only one where the team that won the first game is an underdog, the Lakers are a 4.5-point underdog at home against the Houston Rockets, because the thought process is that, well, KD was shooting around yesterday. More than likely, KD will play. And we've heard nothing on Luka, right? I don't think they're going to force-feed Luka in game two, right? Especially after they won game one. I think they'll be a little careful with Luka. Any surprise tonight? You got two teams heavily favored and one that's the visiting team that's favored.
The Spurs and Blazers and Celtics 76ers, those things I would assume will be blowouts.
Good chance those series are sweeps, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are essentially mismatches. The Lakers-Rockets, fairly even matchup. We'll see what the Durant situation is. I would expect that he would play. And if he does play, that they should have the advantage with the injuries that the Lakers are dealing with. But we talked about it the other day. Shengun's got to be better. He can't be getting beat by DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
I like if the Lakers continue to just get contributions from those other guys. You, Marcus Smart,
the former Grizzlies.
Definitely got to mention the former Grizzlies, Marcus Smart.
If Luke Kennard goes off again.
My man Jake LaRavia. And as long as DeAndre Ayton is not acting like my man Warren Coolidge from The White Shadow, he's just going to play ball, he's good to go.
Salami dishing the Coolidge. You don't want it to be, you don't want the Lakers of all teams to be Grizzlies West. Like, take anybody else, maybe with the exception of Golden State, not the Lakers, to become Grizzlies West. And this is sad news. It's sad news because of the tragedy that happened. A grandson of retired Duke basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski, charged with misdemeanor driving while impaired in connection with a collision that killed a 15-year-old bicyclist. Misdemeanor driving in a collision that killed a 15-year-old? Wow, okay. Joseph Savarino admitted to drinking before the incident Saturday night. Breathalyzer test measured his blood alcohol concentration at 0.11%. The legal limit is 0.08%. His vehicle struck the boy who was riding his bike in Durham, North Carolina. Again, how is that a misdemeanor driing while... I don't know the legal
system.
Well,
they could add...
They better add.
Vehicular manslaughter, those types of things, but... There, apparently, driving while impaired is a misdemeanor. So that's the other, his brother.
I was just going to get
the one
that
had the DUI in Palo Bad Carroll's car.
Yeah, I was thinking that this was the kid
brother. Yeah, I was just going to get to that. The other grandson of Krzyzewski and the brother of Savarino, Michael Savarino, pleaded guilty to DWI in July 2022 following an arrest in November 2021 while operating a vehicle owned by then Duke star Paolo Banchero. He was sentenced to 12 months probation, had to complete a treatment program as part of his plea agreement, along with community service and a fine. Are we sure that these guys are affiliated with Duke and not Georgia? I mean, what the hell's going on with those brothers right there? Not a good look for Coach K's grandson.
I see a little Krzyzewski privilege right there.
They better charge him with vehicular homicide. 15-year-old lost his life.
Folks, if you've got a move coming up, you're moving into a new home or new office, whether it's across town or across country, get the professional, get the experts from Black Tie Moving to take care of you and your belongings. Go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis or give them a call, 901-316-6196, and they will make sure that move goes as smoothly as possible for you. They are the professionals. They are the experts. You try and get your friends to do it. You try and do it yourself. Well, That's just not a good idea. It's a lot of stress and worry that you don't need. Get the professionals to take care of that for you. And the best professionals out there, that's Black Tie Moving. Again, 901-316-6196. Or go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis.
Tomorrow on the program, DeMichael Cole will join us at 8:05. We will talk Grizzlies and we'll talk NBA draft and NBA playoffs as well. Teresa Walker also scheduled to join us at 9:05. What's going on with the Tennessee Titans as they get set for the NFL draft? And also, again, the rumors out there that Nashville will host the Super Bowl in 2030. Seems like it's probable, but again, right now, nothing definitive. I want to thank Connor O'Gara, Frank Bonner, Mickey Barker for joining us on the program today. Waldo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy and for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody.